It is the 5 o'clock hour of power, mm-hmm. and we have to note that it's posted the beautiful picture of Nicole Kidman and her family because she was honored as the AFI's Lifetime Achievement recipient.
Yes.
And it was an all-star event, and there was a mini, like, Little Big Lies reunion with Reese Witherspoon, Lee Daniels, Meryl Streep, Zac Efron, Miles Teller. But one of the biggest ones is it was the very first time we've ever seen her and Keith Urban's daughters make a red carpet appearance with them ever.
One looks like her, one looks like Keith, at least Keith's eyes. They're wearing Monique Lhuillier. I mean, Nicole Kidman, this gold sequin.
She looks she looks prettier than we've seen. She's just gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh.
Her daughters are darling.
Darling. I love everything about all of this. This was where all the... boy, this was a who's who of people at this
It
thing.
Really was. She wanted to say to everybody but that she can't believe her enormous luck that she's had in the industry. There's also, you know, the most important thing, love.
Yeah.
Big love. Aww. And then right there is the love of my life and the loves of my life. My daughters have never been anywhere public with me on a red carpet.
Wow.
Tonight was their first night, so they're here Sunday in faith. Her mom would be watching over live streams. She could feel her dad who had passed away.
Aww.
And then there's my nieces, my nephews, and my sissy, and my beautiful auntie and her husband who are family now. This is all because of you. And I love you so much. There's no place like home. As they say, you're my home. Thank you for flying halfway across the world. You know, because they spent a lot more time now in Australia than they did before because they were pretty much Nashville and L.A.,
yeah.
But they've really started to live more.
These are all such attractive people.
They're beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I mean, their daughters really are gorgeous.
They really are.
Yeah. I mean, the one daughter, the oldest daughter, looks just like Nicole.
She does. They're really pretty. So this is all posted. Mm. And I've always loved their names. Sunday, I think she's Sunday Rose Urban and Faith.
Yeah.
They're cute. And then she also, of course, she was asked, and I saw this over the weekend, has unconditional love for her two children that she has with Tom Cruise, who have...
No, she didn't mention them by name.
But she says I have unconditional love. Didn't she say something? Wasn't she asked something? Did I read that?
No, what Bella liked one of Nicole's posts.
Oh, that was
that
it.
That she... put about being at the AFIs.
So someone wrote a headline.
Yeah.
A fake headline, apparently. Mm-hmm.
But she liked it. And technically, you know, a Scientologist should not be looking at anything a suppressive person did, which is, you know, Tom Cruise parental alienated through, quote unquote, his religion, his kids from their mom. But, you know, they'd already been indoctrinated. Those kids were like 8 and 10 when Tom and Nicole...
They were 9 younger.
And 7, but they were old enough that they'd been indoctrinated and started Scientology kindergarten at age 6.
Mm-hmm.
So they were already a lost cause.
Nicole looks just so great.
Oh, I love it.
We have a little, you know, she's when you go into the AMC movie theater because of her love of movies. She gives us a little speech. Welcome to the movie theater. I love movies, blah, blah, blah.
What was the thing they put out, you know, to try and save movie theaters and get, you know, and she's redone it and people have spoofed it and it's just epic.
Here's Morgan Freeman doing a special one.
Like, who looks pretty damn good? He is 86 and he is looking sharp. He's 86.
She takes us somewhere we've never been before. Not just entertained, but somehow reborn together. She dazzles on a huge silver screen, silent back in field. Somehow she makes heartbreak feel good in a place like this. And the story is still perfect and powerful. Because here at AFI, she is.
That's so sweet. I mean, yeah, she's been in so many movies. And she's always, for the most part, good. Except for Expats I watched. this year, which was on Prime. I was the only one who watched it.
The Paperboy with Zac Efron.
Never watched that one. Oh, that was the peeing one. And the
terrible. Yeah, that one. And I she's going to do another movie with Zac Efron where he's a love interest.
Really?
That's why there's a trailer out today. It's called A Family Affair. Is about Joey King, who was there at the AFI, whose mother, played by Nicole, falls in love with her boss, a famous actor played by Zac Efron. Hmm. I'm not here for that. I don't like the idea. I just, because I saw The Paperboy.
Well, why would you ever go to that? Well, that was an outhouse movie.
But she was making out with Zac Efron in that, and I felt uncomfortable. They didn't make...
He's older now.
Yeah.
He's filled out. He's got a manly mustache.
Anyway, but we're getting rom-coms right and left. The Idea of You with Anne Hathaway is getting delightful reviews. And, that one looks good. And so, A Family Affair. I don't like those two as a movie couple on screen.
All right, that's fair.
I'd like immediate recasting, but I'm not in charge.
Because there's such an age. Well, there's 20 years age difference between.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, and we've already seen them together in a very bad movie.
Well,
called
I never
Paperboy.
Watched it. I would never watch that.
Oh, there's a dancing in the rain underwear scene that is just should have been so good, but just was wrong. It just felt. You're like, what am I watching?
What am I watching? Okay, the other big movie news was Mufasa.
Oh my gosh, this trailer
looks so good.
It looks so good, but why do I feel like I'll never go to this movie?
I'm with you.
You'll see it when it comes to your house.
It'll be a nice couch flick for sure.
Okay. So this is the remaking of the Lion King, live action movie that came out in 2019,
yep.
Where Beyonce was in it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Atlanta, Donald Glover.
All these people
Donald
are
in Glover.
Donald
yep.
Glover.
But the thing,
they're all returning.
I know, but the daughter of Nyla and Simba, right,
mm-hmm.
is going to be played by Blue Ivy.
I love it.
Kiara.
It's so
yes.
cool.
Yeah. I think it's really cool.
That's a cool casting combo to get those two together. Yeah, you're going to get the queens.
And Seth Rogen is back as yep. Pumbaa and Billy Eichner as Timon.
They were perfect together with their voices. I just love that because we've had this story of the Lion King and it came out when I was a kid and the original cartoon version. Now we've got this live action, but there's been this Mufasa like lore that we just didn't know.
No.
We always
like
know
what
about
happened
Simba.
With his brother Scar.
Yeah, how did they become enemies with each other? How did he become like the greatest king of the wild or of all time? And so I really it's
so
a
this
cool
is
thing.
Like a prequel.
This is the prequel. This is how this
the
is like Simba
story.
But Mufasa. Yeah,
yeah, it's about Mufasa.
Mufasa. Yeah,
and Scar. And what becomes? What happens? About
yeah,
that. Remember Jeremy Irons was Scar.
Oh, I was always scared of Scar when I was a kid.
Yeah, I know.
Not going to lie.
Well, thanks for posting the trailer.
Yeah,
it looks
really
epic.
Good.
And Barry Jenkins, who directed Moonlight, did this. And yeah, with so many people returning. Blue Ivy, I mean, how fun.
Oh. Went there
for your first acting role to be voicing.
With your mom, too.
With your mom, yeah.
It's
cool.
Just so cool. And mm-hmm. I do like that Beyonce album. I listen to it all the
time.
Oh,
it's so good.
Mm-hmm. And the song with the little baby, younger one. I can't think of her name.
That album is rich. You can listen to
it. It really is.
It is.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Julia, I just have to take this minute to just say to you that it has been 10 years since Philip Seymour Hoffman died.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That is amazing that it has been 10 years.
It's such a huge acting loss. Julia and I got to meet him.
You guys got to meet him.
We did.
Was he, okay, sorry to bother you. Was he as, because every role that he plays, whether it was even like in the first Twister movie when he mm-hmm. was just that wacky, goofy, yeah. fun, loving
guy. Rusty or something.
Yeah. Rusty, yeah. Was he just that fun and happy-go-loving?
He was kind.
That's
kind.
What I
kind. He was kind and kind of really thoughtful.
Yeah, and very.
And this is, we saw him when he played the little guy,
Truman
the writer.
Capote.
Yeah. Truman,
He was winning things, and he was very relaxed and very chill. And
very thoughtful and respectful of the media.
Wow. He'd been winning, and by the time the SAG Awards, and he was... and. I sat and just blatantly sat right next to his shoulder and eavesdrop on an interview he was giving, like, to Access Hollywood or whatever. I know. I was always finding people in the hallway.
Lori was better at eavesdropping than me.
Yeah. And his publicist was shooting me arrows, okay? Mm-hmm. Daggers at me. And Philip Seymour Hoffman just kind of turned and looked at me, and he just nodded. He goes, "Hello." And I said, "Hello, I'm just listening." He said, "That's great," or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then he just continued to answer the questions from the reporter that was asking him. And I just liked that he did that. And his sister wrote a essay in the Paris Review about missing her brother. And I don't know. You know, it's always...
He had an accidental overdose with heroin. Yes. He slipped.
Yeah, well, I mean, he slipped out. And then then what usually happens when you slip is that your dosage is different than what you used to. And then it takes you. It's a sad situation.
But he had children. And he was married.
And he, you know, didn't mean... No one means to do. But the grief, you know, that is there. That there's just a million ways to grieve. So she wrote an essay in the Paris Review because she's a little bit younger than him. Mm-hmm. Like maybe 8 years younger. But from the time his career took off, she was always clipping out newspaper and magazine articles, and she kept scrapbooks. So the day when he died, she went to the local library. This is what she writes about, and asked the librarian what happens to the new magazines now, or whatever is going to be coming out, or newspaper. What happens to them? And she goes, "Oh, you know, a couple. We send them to kids' school, and they use them for art projects." Mm-hmm. And anyway, she went back a few days later when she knew there'd be stories and took all the pop culture magazines, the tabloid, the People, and the librarian knew she and cut out every story about her brother so that her brother wouldn't end up as some just mishmash headline in some project. And she's like, "I just felt like I had to do that." And
I love that.
And the librarian knew I was returning all these act up brand new magazines that was clipped out. I just thought it was kind of a...
That's sweet. Yeah. That's sweet and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Very.
But very, like, sharing about the grief. Anyway.
All right.
Oh, well, his Along Came Polly. If you have not...
Oh, I love that.
His being the best man in Along Came Polly was one of the most... Mm-hmm. Joyful roles I've seen anybody ever play in my entire life.
True.
Very good movie.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller's in it. Gotta check it out.
All right. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be back with the... Hey, gang. It's Lori and Julia here for Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. And tomorrow at 3:30, we're going to have Monet Sable on, who plays Carol King at the Chan in the amazing show. Beautiful. It's a hit. It's not just a show.
It's
Beautiful.
A hit.
The Carol King musical. And if you have not bought your tickets yet, please go get them. You're not going to want to miss out on this. It's really a once in a lifetime because the Chanhassen Dinner Theater stages such a beautiful, intimate show and beautiful, the Carole King musical. It will blow you away. There's a cast of 29 people singing, dancing.
So many songs that you know, too.
And didn't know she wrote.
Right, exactly. It's, for other people. And her story is incredible. It really is. I'm so glad that Monet is coming in, because 8 shows a week.
I know it. That's a lot. But also, they have great tribute shows at the Chan. You can check everything out at chanhassendt.com. Chanhassen Dinner Theaters, always entertaining you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It has come out as of today that Fallout has become Prime Video's biggest series ever. Prime Video says that 65 million viewers worldwide have at least watched some of the Fallout show since it premiered on April 10th. 65 million viewers. Wow. That's a lot of viewers. And the one thing is this trend is now catching on in multiple social media accounts. Like most recently over the weekend, I loved it. I found this TikTok filter where they'll have a picture of you and guys are going out into fields with their beards or whatever.
And you get a face tune.
It like basically scrolls across your face and then it turns you into what your Fallout character would be. Very fun, very cool promoting.
Were we all afraid of that last time we did what our old face would be or something?
I don't know.
This
but I'd
fun.
Like to see the gold face on everybody.
Yeah, some are ghouls, some are more, some are turning into vault people, you'll get the vest. Yeah. I mean, if you've seen the show, it's a touch of a little bit of everything. But let's go to this one. Sylvester Stallone is going to be giving us a memoir, you guys. It's going to be inspired.
He's busy.
Yes. I mean, we had, a couple years ago, the fake divorce, one could say, to set up the reality show.
The dog put on his armor chest, the tattoo.
Now the show.
Busy.
He's busy. But this kind of seems like a really unique take on a memoir. It's going to be inspired, by Rocky's iconic run at the Philadelphia Art Museum. So this will be called The Steps. And like I said, inspired by him running to the Philadelphia Art Museum in the 1976 film Rocky. But he also talked about how, a source close to him say that The Steps will offer readers not only riveting stories from one of Hollywood's biggest stars, but it will also have invaluable insights and practical wisdom that will inspire and resonate generations to come.
That's a bad description of something that's not going to be in memoir because we don't. That's not the kind of book we're looking for.
Thank
Rocky.
You. That's what I wanted to. That was the one line that made me laugh.
That sounds like a lazy memoir. You
couldn't even finish that sentence.
No, it was just so bad. But the memoir will also represent, like I said, accumulation of decades, reflecting on when he was 12 years old, Sylvester Stallone sat on those very steps and daydreamed about being
cares.
A hero.
Nobody cares about that story.
The only thing I care about is today on one of the morning shows, someone was in Philadelphia and it really is out there all alone.
Yeah.
Kind of where it is. It's funny that there's nothing in front of it. It's very much isolated in a destination, those steps.
It's not.
That's all I saw. Yeah.
I know that movie won Best Picture. Did he win Best Actor for that role?
Remember.
No, I don't know.
He was nominated for it, and I don't know that he won for it, but he definitely was nominated, and the picture won.
Yes,
and
it did win Best Picture.
Surprise, but I don't think he won.
Think it would win today?
It's a good
Who knows? People love a feel-good underdog story that never gets old.
I can't believe Barbie didn't win for those reasons.
Exactly, Julia. Exactly.
Yeah, it looks like it was nominated, but I'm not seeing Best Actor.
No, he didn't win.
We've got to mention this one here. Did you guys talk about the Owen Wilson story and the O.J. Simpson film that he was offered last week by chance? This is insane. So O.J., obviously we learned about the passing of O.J. Simpson in the last couple weeks here, but there was a Owen Wilson was he had turned down $12 million to be in a biopic about O.J. Simpson that would, quote, paint him as an innocent person. And he wanted nothing to do with this. So he was going to.
Yeah, I would say so, too.
Stallion.
Yeah, he was going to be offered the role of Douglas McCann. Do you guys remember him?
No,
but he was one of the lawyers with it. But he just said that I am not going to be a part of this, even with that kind of check. He wants nothing to do with it. So good on, like you said, the butterscotch.
Who wants to see a movie about that?
Yeah, no, nobody.
I mean, OJ wrote a book, If I Did It. He wrote a book, If I Did It, and basically described what he did.
Lori. We've tried to avoid him for 30 years.
Yep. Anne Heche's estate is still struggling to pay off her $6 million debt, so says her son, Homer Laughlin.
Homer.
Yeah.
He's so young and stuck with all this.
Yeah, he's been dealing with a lot, there's a lot of claims out there from not only from other creditors and banks, but also the owner of the home in which he crashed into, the renter next door. But this poor kid is dealing with, he's got multiple, there's about $6 million in debt that they need to figure out with his mom right now. Let's go over to some political news, which we usually stay away from at this station, but we've just got to mention this because The Daily Show is very involved in political news. And, it's been a pretty good success with the return of host John Stewart on
Monday nights. He came back one night a week.
That's perfect job.
But they will be doing a special show for both the Democratic and Republican conventions in July and August. So the Daily Show is going to set up shop in Milwaukee, Wisconsin from July 15th to July 18th, working a full week of shows at the Republican National Convention following the Democratic National Convention, where they'll do shows from August 19th to August 22nd with John Stewart hosting those shows. So cool. I think that'd be good to have his perspective at both of those shows.
Well, it's a perfect setting.
Mm-hmm. It is, absolutely.
For what he does. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah, and I forgot. And all of a sudden I heard him like, Lori.
Oh, yeah.
They sing our song. We had such a blonde moment. Remember that?
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, hello. How long have we been playing that for Sex Monday? You didn't know that was
Salt
and Pepper?
But I never knew it was Salt and Pepper.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted that was such a brain fart. Your 90s
you really
card.
Did. Just like when Grant asked me about my foot today. What are we? Senior citizens?
Yeah, I know.
With your free time this summer, you should check out one of those like 90s reunion tour things.
We did.
That's what I was at.
Yeah, that's what she was at.
And I'm like, Lori,
it's our song. And I'm like, oh my God, are you or something else?
I'm blonde.
Let's do it. Let's go together. Let's do it. There we go.
Okay, so I've got some very good news because we are coming up into the season of horniness. You know, spring is right here. People are feeling the love, the pull of... They can almost see bare skin in their future if it's going to warm up a little bit. And we'll just call it, this is the season that people really like. And so one of the things that I did not know about, and I am like very happy to share this information, is that there is a game-changing new condom that can be pulled on pre-erection so that you don't have to stop in the middle of anything of what you're doing.
So it grows when you grow.
That's right.
All right. You can,
that was well said. No, yes. Well said.
Prophylactive. We'll call it.
So this one.
This is, it's called Unique, U-N-I-Q, pull. And it comes in, there's three of them, and it comes in, it almost looks like a little tiny wallet, you know, but anyway, you've already gotten it on, so you don't have to interrupt
everything.
The hot moment for the mundane task of rolling on the damn condom.
So you could put it on ahead of time.
It's called the C2 Smart Condom, and it stretches over the flaccid wiener, or phallus, if you prefer, or penis.
Okay.
It covers it like a sock, Julia.
Sure.
Okay. And then there's a ring at the base that helps the thin prophylactic adhere to your soft, squishy member. Okay.
All right, there you go.
And then as the penis gets erect, the condom expands.
I like that.
Did you get what
I
did there?
It expands.
It does. Up to 7 inches, like the penile equivalent of a popcorn top.
Oh my God, like Jiffy Pop.
Jiffy Pop.
Like a Jiffy Pop, exactly.
Unique pull. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, C2 Smart Condom. And it's you can put it on before the erection and forget about it.
All right, there you go.
And it's they're very, very, very
They're hypoallergenic and
good.
Vegan.
Yeah.
All right.
So I want you guys to know about that there's
Thank you.
And the website has a very nice, simple
tutorial. That's how I was able to describe it so accurately.
I can see.
That's a game changer. Mm-hmm. Now, 100%. What is this? Well, any article that I review that has anyone from the University of Minnesota talking about sex, I pay attention.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Carlo Schenck, a professor and senior staff psychiatrist at the Hennepin County Medical Center at the University of Minnesota told CNN that sexsomnia is a real thing and it is a dangerous sex sleep disorder that we just don't know that much
tell
about.
Tell us. I saw the headline and I'm like, Lori will bring this to me today. So tell us.
Okay. A sexomni is not a wonderful sex dream, or better known as a wet dream. Sure. It is not that.
Okay.
Sexomnia is sleep sex. And it is a rare but real sleep disorder that causes people to engage in sexual behaviors, including dirty talking in their sleep, masturbating while sleeping, and having sex while asleep.
What percentage of people? I've never even heard of this.
The condition is part of a category of sleep disorders called parasomnias that include sleepwalking, okay, sleep talking, sleep eating, and sleep terrors. All wow. of those occur when the brain is not in a dream state. And oh. The sexomnia is a disorder of arousal, said Dr. Schenk. They most often occur during the slowest, deepest stage of sleep called delta sleep. It's like an alarm or trigger has gone off in the central nervous system, and you go from your basement to your roof in no time flat. That right there is such a Minnesota expression.
I know, but is that literally?
Or
it just means you speed up that fast and you from zero aroused to fully aroused, but you're not literally walking.
Right.
This is all happening while you're sleeping.
Yes, very good translating of the Minnesota guys.
Oh, my gosh.
You go from your basement to your roof in no time flat.
I know, right?
And a study of 1,000 people found that just over 7% of people experience sexomnia at least once in their life, and almost 3% of people live with the condition. But it's very difficult to study because people have no recollection of their actions and only become aware
if their partner
of the issue
them.
Right. when they injure themselves or their partner makes them aware of it.
Right.
Your cognition is deeply asleep. You're not with the program, but your body is activated. So that's when people will sleepwalk, sleep, eat, whatever. What's really disconcerting to people when they have any of this kind of stuff, whether it's sexomnia or sleepwalking, sleep talking, they have total amnesia. They absolutely cannot remember it. Mm. It's someone that they've been in bed with or in a house with. You did this. Why did you do this? And then they go, I don't remember anything. And then people are embarrassed. Or they're...
Sure. Can you imagine if in the middle of the night you just start...
Whip it out and...
Yeah, what if your mom wakes up and you're in the cake?
Oh, Lori.
Find a nice warm apple pie.
Yeah.
I mean, way to give us that visual.
I'm just saying.
That's important.
Where's
that other story I gave you?
But there's... Listen, if you have at least one first-degree family member...
Okay.
Okay.
Every family's got one cereal.
A first degree is like, do you have someone in your immediate family that's a sleepwalker, sleep talker, sexomnia? Right.
Okay.
If you have someone that's immediate brother, sister, you're more likely to develop one. But anyway, I've never experienced it.
I've never even heard of it before today, but when I saw the headline.
This is different than like a sex dream because you're actually acting on it. In a sleepless form, you're sleepwalking, but you're sleep.
Or your partner wakes up and you are furiously masturbating or something and you don't even know it. And maybe you're dirty talking to yourself.
That would be a lot.
It would
be a
lot
to overhear.
So yeah.
That would be a lot to overhear and wonder
what is going on. And so people are really.
Are you talking to someone else? I mean, that would be a lot.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. So anyway, now I just want to let people know if you are feeling frisky and you are done with the person that you've, cuddled up with for the winter that never was. Apparently the new way that the kids are breaking up is they just post something on one of their social media. They like a FAQ. We broke up. It happened on Wednesday. March 15th, yes, it is his fault. No, we are never, ever getting back together. Taylor's version.
No one does this.
I require 3 weeks for any further questions. You don't have to block him because I'm completely indifferent.
I like that.
Thank you. Please respect my privacy at this time. And it's just titled, Here's My Life Update. So that they don't have to have a million conversations with people.
Yep. Yeah.
They just put it out there.
Yep.
And
no
I kind of like it.
I do too. Gives you some time to get that barrier to figure yourself out while everybody's like, can I do anything for you? Are you okay? Are you going to be alone? No,
friends,
I just need to be, I just need
friends,
to be alone.
Friends, family, colleagues, and casual acquaintances can be almost as stressful as the actual breakup with all their questions. So if you're feeling that way, attention, we broke up. Here's the, and then you come up with your FAQs.
Right.
But I do think you should always borrow, yes, it is his or her fault.
Yes, I like that.
Or
one.
Their fault. And it, the day it happened.
Yes. You know, oh, gosh.
I like that.
It, yes, it's their fault. Of course. Duh.
Yeah, duh. Mm-hmm. Make it kind of be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have done this my first marriage, you know. Instead, I just went into hiding and never talked to any of those
friends
again.
And never touched people again. Well, it's an honest way.
Yeah.
Been there with breakups. Everybody's had that.
We didn't have any of these things, Lori.
No, I know. Of course not. We didn't.
We didn't have any of this stuff available.
Mm-hmm. And if you're fexting in your relationship, you got to figure out what you're fexting about before you really get committed to it. And if you're asking what fexting is, fighting over text.
I'm just looking it up, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting and text, it's fexting.
Fexting is a fight over text.
Fighting and texting and refers to arguments or conflicts that take place through text messages. First, text messaging, if you want to get something through, you need to pick up the phone and call people. I'm sorry.
But sometimes people have to,
Are you doing it? You should stop.
I know, but sometimes people will fax if they have children, if they have people that they don't want to overhear. But yes, I think it's fraught with danger.
But you can also go to Men's Health and they will tell you that they'll teach you how to do it.
Yeah. Anyway, hold off on responding.
I agree.
Yeah, hold off on responding.
And don't pick up your phone all the time when you're not, but you can't take calls.
Couples will fext so they don't have to fight in front of their kids. Just giving you an example of how a fexting situation could occur. They don't want to fight, or you're, you know, on a thing with parents and you don't want them to know that you're kind of, because there's nothing worse than being with the Bickersons. Let's be honest.
And your significant others across the table, just start texting them, quit being an ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm texting you right now because I'm sick of you. And if this doesn't stop, I'm going to leave.
This is an excellent
example.
And
I don't want to embarrass you out loud, so just nip it in the bud, dude. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
It's good for the
kids. I mean, that would be...
Though you could get mad all over again from
really
looking
could.
Down at the text.
Oh,
really
I know.
In the middle of dinner.
You really could. But you could excuse yourself and go to the restroom.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well done.
All right.
We'll be back. Thank you. Thanks for hanging out with us. So you have told me when I was single, you have to go to Stagecoach. The country musical kind of festival.
Well, it's the same place where Coachella is.
Yes.
It's Indio, California. And because...
It's country, like the country jam.
Well, there's a lot of guys, Julia, okay?
Back in the day, you were like, you have to go there, Julia.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah, because there's it's more evenly distributed men and women, I think, in country.
And so Post Malone was there this weekend. Who got on stage with him?
Well, he did. He's doing country covers. He's in his country stage right now, Post Malone. And he got up, he did the cover, I guess, Grant said he's covered this before, but a Brad Paisley song, and guess who comes strolling out?
Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley.
I'm going to miss her.
How fun would that be?
Fun.
Very, very fun.
And it's not as crazy as the Coachella scene.
No, not at all.
Know?
Okay.
But.
People have fun there.
Yeah.
When you just talked about the non-existent winter.
Mm-hmm.
So when I took out all those bins from underneath my steps, which is a very large storage space, I was showing Jeff my amazing collection of gloves.
Oh, you
of
got
gloves
of mittens.
Oh, geez.
Of scarves.
Yeah.
Of hats for every different type of season.
Yeah.
Did you make a keep toss and donate?
I try, but I've got the twins collection for bomber and a thing in case we ever go to the World Series.
Yes.
Okay.
I've got our Minnesota Wild jersey that we got in case we ever go something there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just showing them. I try to get rid of stuff. And I said, look at
how
much winter.
You need to look at that lady's book.
I do. Look at how much winter stuff I have. I really want it to be winter next year because I have so many cute winter jackets, snow pants, clothes.
But you only have one head and two legs.
I know. I'm getting close to getting ready.
Oh, God.
I mean, it just blows me away. And Lori, what I keep.
Yeah.
But outside of winter, it's amazing what you just hang on to. Oh, like, yeah. I just need someone to come over and just, are you kidding
That's what
me?
I did this weekend. And I actually
you
got
did?
Into my winter.
Did you?
I got into my winter stuff. And I'm
I
like
can't.
You, I had 6 pairs of gloves, 7 to 10
all?
Different beanies. And I'm like, I only need 3 of these.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I did a lot of organizing in keeping and garage sale.
Okay, yeah.
We're doing a big garage
and
sale
And the collection
this summer.
Of Maytag mittens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those
funny,
are cool.
Our funny Maytag knit hat that's kind of like a beanie. Do you remember that one that has...
Julia, I try to keep everything moving along.
You don't hold
I
on to anything,
do you? I have
a lot
of fancy dresses that you do, one day that, I'm going to have to go through.
I tried to put on my groom's minute I found my old wedding dress by the way I didn't even think I had it
wow.
And I mean I really found some stuff and I put on the dress I wore to my groom's dinner for my first wedding almost can zip it
heck
yeah
almost it was just funny I found so much stuff
you're a sentimental gal
I kind
you
of am.
Hang on to things
well and I'm a woman whose sizes change so I have something in every size but really with our jean our jean and black shirt and black vest more me than you but you're my twin today
It was cold today. I
it's
am
freezing.
So ready to feel warm weather.
Freezing.
I want
my
warm
feet were
skin.
Cold all weekend.
I've had it with this spring that doesn't know what it wants to be.
Thank you.
We go through this every year, and spring doesn't listen to us. And I, you know, don't care that it doesn't listen, but I am sick of it.
It's
like
coming.
Everybody is.
Everyone is.
Because it's just
Can
been
we
damn
plant
cold.
Anything yet? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
We need to talk to Larry Farr.
No, we're not planting anything in the ground yet.
And not in pots?
Well, I wouldn't. Yeah.
Okay.
Seeding,
I saw
you do want to do seeding of grass. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can do
absolutely
that.
Grass is this
the
point in time of the year.
The ground is still hard and cold, right. And the ground needs to be warmer, Julia.
The hard and lonely
really,
ground.
You can use Mother's Day weekend as your barometer.
Is that my barometer?
Yeah.
All right.
For zone 5 here in the Twin Cities.
Lori knows
I love
zone.
Your zone 5. You
yes.
got it.
I mean, because that's a...
It's true.
And last week, as the magnolia tree was ready to burst forth, we had the freezing
yes we did
temperature or whatever so once again spring
that
is rock blocking everybody's
that tree,
rock blocking.
No it is it
that
is.
Tree for you has been something
yeah
but, you got it from Gertens all these years
no,
where
didn't.
Did you get
Gertens.
That from because
I
remember I
didn't get
when
it
you got
Gertens.
It we've talked Gertens. About it for years
yeah but I you know my other flowering tree is beautiful I mean it's beautiful when it's done it's just a tricky
season.
Tree to have. It really yearns to be in Georgia and South Carolina.
Instead of Zone 5.
The low country, as it were.
Is Zone 5, is that a real thing?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's planting zones.
And planting
like,
zones.
Like all of the hydrangeas that Bailey's Farm makes are for, you know, they make
zone
special things
five,
for Zone
4
five.
And 3 so that they're hardy.
Endless Summer and the popcorn one and
Ladies, I learn so much from you every time I'm here. Like you're just a wealth of knowledge. I love
thank
that.
You.
It's true.
Thank you for saying that. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Appreciate
just
it.
Drop the mic. Let's go.
We're ready. We've got a couple minutes left. I just want to remind people again, it's a ladies are going to take over the couches tonight.
Ooh.
Anne Hathaway and Jimmy Fallon.
For her movie that's going to drop on Prime called The Idea of You, and it's about a woman who starts dating her daughter's pop idol.
Okay, but
and they
this
go
is,
to Coachella.
And this is the same thing like fun. You were saying you don't want with Nicole Kidman and Zac Efron.
Yeah, but I don't know this guy. I like, you know, Anne Hathaway is 40. This guy's 25.
Looks good. It looks sexy. It
looks real sexy.
Emily Blunt is on with Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
Love that.
The fall.
And
fall guy,
Leon Bridges is also going to be singing. Stephen Colbert, Jean Smart.
Oh,
she is
hacks.
Great. Hacks, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then finally, Seth Meyers is going to have Jim Gaffigan, who's always funny.
He's in the Unfrosted.
Oh, that's right. Because that's coming
that
out
movie.
Next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't? No, he's not the president. That's Bill Burr.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know, but I saw that he's in it.
I think he's the president of Post or one of
maybe.
The. I think he's one of like the head guys of like the Kellogg or Post or
it's
something.
So, and I believe it too. He kind of looks like that guy who would be the CEO of a. Dairy or cereal company.
So and if,
an oat brand.
And if anyone asks you what's in your pocket, just say, I've got a poem because it's poem in your pocket day.
Oh, all right.
Are you happy to see me? No, it's just a poem.
Yeah.
It's the poem in your pocket day. P-I-P. Pip. All right. We've got a fun show tomorrow. Lots of fun guests. And thank you, everyone, for hanging out today. We'll be back tomorrow.